Chapter 41. Saturday morning. Zell's alarm had gone off 2 hours before, but he slammed it off so hard the batteries had fallen out, so the 10-minute reminder buzzes never came. Instead, it was a hungry beast nuzzling his face that brought him to eventual awareness.
Go away, it's only...
Gah! He gasped as he focused on his wristwatch. Zell scrambled into his clothes and flew down the stairs, banging on Val's door and shouting, "Let's go get your stuff. We'll grab something on the way." Val muttered something inaudible from behind the door as Zell slid across the slick floor and to the side door. Flinging open the door and jamming his feet into his boots, Zell dashed across the yard and hammered on Zelos's door. "Hey, time to go." Silence. Zell grumbled about worthless people and searched his keyring for the purple one. "Got it. I'm coming in. Zelos, you up?"
"Huh?"
"Moving Val. Asian celebration. Ring any bells?" "Yeah, I overslept too. Must be the aftermath of having a gig at the end of an exhausting week on top of the flu." Zell smirked.
"You think?"
"Okay, I'm up. Just a minute. And I'll take a shower and..." "No shower. You had one before you went to bed anyway, right? See? I know your habits as well as my own. Move now or we'll be late. No food either," Zell commanded. Zelos slumped down the stairs, zipping pants and shirt in hand. "I have to eat before the karate show." "Get in the car. I'll get Val and we'll eat en route," Zell yelled over his shoulder as he flung the keys at Zelos.
"All right. Put it in gear. Drive, yeah. Step on the gas. You know where the brake is."
"Yes." Zell instructed Zelos as they cruised to Val's ex-residence. "Turn left at the next corner, then keep on going." Val was impressed. Zelos was learning to drive as he did, behind the wheel on the way to a job, without licensed adult driver supervision, as far as he knew. He didn't know about Zell's special dispensation from the doctor allowing him to oversee Zelos. Nope, the goody-goody guys weren't treated special, were breaking the rules, and would get into trouble, just like him, if they got caught. Zelos was so excited he forgot to complain about his hair or lack of food. He helped load the car with Val's stuff, including Lena's beanbag chair in neon green, then cheerfully asked, "Where to, Sahib?"
"Stop at Polly's. I'll run in. Egg, ham, and cheese croissants? Milk, juice, same for you, Val?" Zell asked automatically, jotting down notes into his scheduler.
"Val, you might as well come with us to the celebration. We can pick up food, stop at the house, unload your stuff fast, change your clothes. Zelos, you have that kimono wrapped up to give to Silphiel? Almost forgot that, didn't you? Admit it."
Val started laughing in the back seat. He'd never seen Zell so animated before. This was the side of his personality that Zell kept hidden so well. He unveiled it only when he was in very comfortable company, and only very recently.
"Croissants?" he croaked out in wonder. "You guys eat that kind of food often?"
"Oh, no, that's okay. I'll have the same."
"So, no coffee, Zell?"
Val asked, amusement dancing in his eyes.
"No, I've switched to tea mostly. Coffee on weekends, but not before physical activity, so I don't get..."
"What? What's so funny?" Zell frowned.
"You. Who is that guy in the passenger seat? Now I'm not laughing at you. I'm just used to... well, not used to waking up to all this action on a Saturday."
Val chuckled. He didn't want to hurt the guy's feelings. He was happy to have a light-hearted Zell around.
"So, Zelos is quiet."
He almost added, "for a change."
"Yeah, while he's driving with me, he can't talk. We shouldn't either. Distractions. Here, take your time parking. Yeah, you have enough room on this side. Be right back," Zell said, leaping out of the car.
Zelos shook his head and twisted around to face Val.
"Meet the real Zilgadis. Strange, huh? He's like this, unless strangers or
more importantly, strange girls come around. Or he gets into a mood, or he crawls into his rock mode. Or it's the second Tuesday of the month, or...
Well, you're not such a fruitcake anymore, either, Val remarked good-naturedly. Zelos made a face.
What do you mean?
You don't act so goofy and weird.
Oh, that's good?
Val changed the topic to avoid accidentally hurting this guy's feelings, either.
So, if my new stuff comes and we're not home, what happens?
Zelos and Rezo are home. Her car's parked out back, which is why Zelgadis' car was out front. They must have moved the cars late last night. She gets up late on the weekends. Rezo plants himself in front of the TV as soon as he gets up. He could just as well listen to the radio, but I hate them both, and they hate me, so it works out. It'll all be over soon, Zelos said seriously. By the way, I need to talk to you about Gav.
Ah, breakfast cometh.
Zelos smiled and pushed open the door for Zell.
Sorry it took so long. Crowded in there, Zell panted. What you want to know about Gav?
Zelos pulled out of the parking lot and drove the short distance to his house. Zell looked at Zelos, then back at Val. Zelos parked the car, then waited for Zell to get out and open the trunk. Zelos then said, I'll see if I can answer that. The other night, I was brainstorming possible plans. I know Gav wants you, and the financial reasons for that, but hesitate to use you as the bait to draw him out.
Why?
He might have you dragged off before the police get there to arrest him.
For one,
you'd be endangered needlessly for another. Better to dangle the Val carrot as a last resort. I need something else. And not what Zelos suggested either. Zelos shook his head and paused as Zell glanced his way, picked up a box, and started for the house. Val popped open the back door and grabbed a box to carry in.
He came here looking for the Red Priest's staff. You promise him that, he'll come.
Val looked down at Zelos, who was lifting a box out of the trunk.
I told you about that at the beach gig, remember?
Zelos remembered. He hadn't been able to get his hands on that staff, and he didn't want Zelgadis involved.
I know where it is. Rezo has it, but won't even let me borrow it for the upcoming initiation ceremony at the shrine.
Actually, it's Zelgadis's, but I want him kept out of this.
Listen, if I had my way, I'd arrange a meeting, just Gav and me. Then I'd try and convince him to turn state's evidence against Zelos and the syndicate in exchange for the staff. Let's say. Also getting him to admit, all of this under police undercover surveillance, you see, his guilt in corrupting you and the other kids and stealing your inheritance and insurance money, which the lawyer's working out for you right now, anyway, and getting him and Zelos locked away forever. Zelos began to lug the heavy box of, well, it was hard to tell what, into the house. Val shook his head.
There's nothing you could offer him to get him to do something like that.
Returning from the house, Zelos suggested, what about me? I'm working for Zelos. What if I say I want to go work for him to bring her down? We get to talking. I tell him a few secrets to convince him I'm serious. He shares a few tidbits about her. He hates her, right?
Zelos asked, then started back to the house to dump the last of the boxes on the floor of Val's new room.
Oh, he hates her, and is probably terrified of her as well. But he'd have to be pretty plastered to give much away. And you don't drink, right?
Val asked, knowing he was right. He shut up when they entered the house.
There's got to be something, Zelos snapped in a whisper, staring at Zell, who looked away, then at Val.
Something.
Val knew what Zelos was getting at and shook his head. Outside, he said, you know, Zell and Gowrie and me won't let you go in there alone. Make a new plan. Zell, why haven't you said nothing?
Zell checked the car for any oversights, then closed the door and sighed.
Believe it or not, I try not to think about all that crap. In order to appear out of the loop to Zelus and Rezzo, I actually try to be.
Thinking about all this? It's too much. I can't dwell on it or I might go nuts. I don't know enough, or have, or want access to, information. When Zelos is ready, I'll do whatever he needs me to do. But for now, I'm just trying to live my life.
Zell glanced at his watch. Now we have to move it to make it to the convention center on time. Val, want to come with us? Here's the cell phone. Call Gowrie. Punch number 5 to let him know, all right? Besides, the truck will be too crowded. I've been that one in the middle. I'm thinking of Lena now. Gowrie on one side, you on the other, Philia on your lap, I suppose, and an unhappy Lena mashed into Gowrie. You'd be happier lounging in the back seat here with Amelia and Silphiel.
Val grinned at that. You gotta be joking. You'd be happier. It'll be more convenient for you, I'll give you that. But I couldn't possibly be happier.
Zell glared at him for a moment, then followed Zelos up to their house to change into dojo attire. Val shrugged and looked at the phone. He didn't get Zell. How could he be so indifferent to their problems? Wasn't Zelos his best friend?
Gowrie? Val here. Yeah, running behind schedule, Zell says. I'll just stay here and ride with them. Ah, here comes Silphiel now with Amelia. We'll be off in a minute, I guess, then. Yeah, you picking up Philia? Lena first, then Philia. When are you starting?
Well, yeah, I'll stay with these guys. Give you some breathing space in that truck of yours.
Mr. Nice Guy, that's me. Later, dude.
Zelgaris helped set up the mats, props, and weaponry the other dojo members would be using for the exhibition. He had volunteered for the job in order to stay out of sight for the most part. He might have to be a dead weight to throw, or hold boards, or set up equipment, but he wouldn't have to demonstrate any newly learned skill. Zelos listened to last-minute instructions from his sensei, then stood aloof, as if meditating. Val walked from room to room, getting a feel for the show's layout. Food vendors were setting out samples from cauldrons of prepared food. Outside, a dozen barbecues were smoking with skewered chicken, pork, and beef. Artwork for show and sale was in another room with diffused lighting coming from overhead skylights. Hundreds of booths had been erected for the sale of merchandise of all kinds: tarot reading, Tibetan imports, clothes, jewelry, and "Your name written in Chinese characters," read one sign. Tiny bonsai plants worth hundreds of dollars lined a wall. Val found Silphiel and Amelia putting the finishing touches on Silphiel's stall.
"You make those?" he asked, astonished by the quality of her work, as best he understood it.
"Yes, these are made for the show, and this is Zelos's. They're very comfortable, you know, and the fabric was imported from Japan by my mother. She's my aunt, really, but she's so wonderful to do this. She doesn't want me to lose my mother's culture. She's taking me sometime this summer."
Silphiel chattered on.
"I'd like to have one made," Val said, thumbing through fabric swatches.
"For you?"
"I'd like that. But first, I want to have one made for a friend. He's about my size, slightly heavier." Val considered 2 swatches carefully. "He's got brown hair, so what do you think?"
"The black and royal blue would look nice, but it's very expensive silk. Who is it for?" she asked.
It's a thank you gift for Sano. He had to put up with a lot lately."
"Sano, he would look good in those colors. How about this heavy cotton? Its color comes from a traditional blue dye. I could trim it in black, and it would be under $30, she suggested with a smile.
"Deal." Val grinned and counted out the money from a tight wad.
I know you can't say when it'll be done, not knowing how many orders you get today. Just let me know when it's done, okay?
Oh, thanks. You're right. But I want to get started right away. Bye.
She smiled. By the time he'd cycled around back to the exhibition hall, Val noticed that most of the dojo participants were gathered for a final run-through of the activities. He nodded to Sano. Smiling at Sango reminded him that Miroku should be around. Maybe that pretty Kagome, too. He wanted to find someone to talk to, besides himself, so he bought himself a soda and cruised the place all over again. When the door opened for the public, Val was standing to the side to catch sight of Lena, Philia, and Gowri. "Yo, over here!" he shouted as they entered the building. "Yeah, we made it, though it took forever to get out of the settlement. Philia's mom is way out there now and wanted to chat with us a while. Seems she doesn't get to see much of Philia these days. Oh, and she says hi to you, too. So, where's everybody?" Lena asked congenially. Philia retained her regal silence. At the dance, she had agreed to go out with Alan Schetzer, if he followed through with her demands to meet her family and drive to and fro from Seirun to the settlement on the outskirts of town. Today, she wasn't so excited, but wasn't sure why. Val gave his friends the tour. They ran into Kagome and Miroku near the demonstration stage where Sango, Zelos, Sano, and the other kids were waiting. Zelgadas and Inu were examining the weaponry off stage. Gowri sought out Zell.
Zell, when's the show starting? I wanna know if I got time to get something to eat. For Lena. For me, too.
Go ahead. We don't start for another 17 minutes. Just ask Lena to save you a spot. The seats are filling fast. Oh, hi, Amelia. Leaving your post with Silphiel?
Zell sighed and sat on the edge of the stage. I wouldn't miss this for anything. Later, I get to be in the Dragon Parade, too. Miss Philia's with Miss Silphiel now, and Miss Lena will take over after that. Are you excited, Zelgadas? I know I am.
Amelia gushed, exuberance overwhelming her so that she had to hop around to extinguish part of it. Nauseous better describes how I feel. Excuse me, sensei calls. The sensitive guy said softly as he rose to his feet.
Gowri shared a plate full of yakisoba noodles with Lena during the karate presentation. It was not unlike the competition they had watched. First, the beginners demonstrated rolls and simple self-defense blocks and punches. The intermediates, like Sango and Sano, showed attacks that are more complicated and the use of other offensive techniques. The advanced students were last. Nuriko and Zelos were the youngest and were paired up for the fighting and dangerous weapon mastery exhibition. Everyone came to see this part, so it was very crowded around the stage area. Zelos was not in top form, having barely recovered from the flu, and having played drums to the near-exhaustion stage the night before. Nuriko landed a few hits past his defenses in the hand-to-hand part. Zelos woke up in time to beat the smile off his opponent's face near the end when he was free to use his bow staff. When the ordeal was over, the dojo students were asked to stick around a few minutes to answer questions. Again, Bunny and her friends appeared near the stage.
Oh, Zell? Zell's was, like, so amazing. I didn't know you did that kind of stuff. That's so cool. So, do you guys know Amy, Makoto, and Mina?
Yeah, you met Rei last night, Bunny said to the guys.
Rei Hino? Asked Miroku, joining the crowd. Then, in a low voice to Zell and Zelos added, quite a looker, I might add, and smart. She must have overheard, because she smiled sweetly and said,
smart enough to avoid you, Miroku. I'm not dating either, Zelos, but Bunny, is the captain of our sailing team and has come up with an idea to raise some money for boat rentals at the lake this summer. You see, there's a new dance club in town, and they're donating a percentage of the door to our club for everyone we get to go there.
The pretty dark-haired Rei explained.
Sailing team?
Our high school has a sailing team? Asked Lena, jostling through to the front.
Yes, the girls' team is called Sailor Moon. Get it? We're five girl sailors from Sailor Moon, and we're like that famous Sailor Moon movie team, squealed Bunny.
So, how does this work? We go there and tell them you sent us? Asked Lena, figuring the angles out for her own purposes.
Almost. We have these coupons. To get in costs $10. So you buy a coupon from us for $5 and hand it over at the door. We get to keep the money. You buy food and drinks. We get 50%.
Terrific, huh?
Well, only if we can get people to go, the short-haired girl, Amy, told them.
Incredible, said the surprised Lena. How did you get that kind of deal?
Bunny grinned, and the two separated to discuss details.
So, what place is it?
Asked Val, as he encroached on Lena's absented space. He knew every dance hall in town, and out of town for that matter.
Siberia! The sailor girls said in unison.
Zell was shaking his head. He didn't want to enter the world of popular teen hangouts, where loud music, dancing, and most certainly drugs ruled. Alas, Zelos was excited, as were Lena and Val. They were snatching up tickets when Val nudged Zell.
You gotta come help watch over Chaos Kid over there.
So that is how Zilgadis ended up buying a couple of tickets to a dance club.
Oh, joy.
Behind the demonstration stage was a corner of practice mats. Zelos and Zell were cruising the food stands, while their friends were either doing the same or grabbing mats and setting up a huge picnic. They passed Lena and Amelia, who were laughing over the most enormous trays of noodles, rice, and sushi dishes that they had ever seen. That is, until Gowrie strode by carrying two mighty trays.
You'd have thought they played an entire tournament, Zell smirked.
Oh, they did. Miroku was sitting between Lena and Amelia. Zelos laughed and looked at Zell, who didn't understand the implication. Miroku has a bad case of wandering hands.
I thought he was a priest at the shrine. Aren't they supposed to have some restraint? Morals, anyway? Zell asked his friend.
I guess not. Hey, it's okay. Val says if he could make it, I shouldn't have any problem.
Zelos smiled. Zell stopped and looked at him seriously. I think you should try and aim a bit higher.
I'll aim for the stars then, little brother, and make you proud, Zelos said as he popped a sushi roll into his mouth.
Just eat and shut up, Zell growled.
What he liked most about his friends like Gowrie and Vaughn were the high standards of honesty, loyalty, and ethics. They all followed a similar code of right and wrong, which Zell found admirable. Val and Zelos, sadly, lacked these qualities to some degree, though that was due to their unfortunate upbringings. Zell hoped fervently that the future would bestow upon them both higher principles and virtues. Zell sat deep in thought on a mat, slightly apart from the others.
Zelgadis? Hello, may I share your mat?
Zell looked up to see the kind, smiling face of his mentor, Kenshin.
Yes, sorry, I was thinking about a couple of my friends.
Were you? You look confused and heavy-hearted. Would you like to unburden yourself? I won't judge you, that I won't, and I won't even give you advice unless you want it, he offered.
Zell considered this. Kenshin Himura, the most talented swordsman of their era, said to have a dark and mysterious past, was a short, skinny, pale guy with lots of red hair and stunningly lavender eyes, which were large and kind. His every expression was simple, happy, and open, as if he was an innocent, ancient child looking out at the world with wise and yet naive windows. How strange he was with his contradictory nature and weird speech patterns.
Zell had liked him immediately and felt that he could trust him. Besides, Kenshin was an adult. Maybe he would know something that 17-year-old Zelgaris didn't. Well, you see, they're both in a lot of trouble. He gave him an abbreviated, anonymous account of their current drama. And I'm just not quite sure where they're going to end up. I'd say I want to save them, but... But you know that it is not your place to do so, correct? You see that as being presumptuous, and crass, even, to think it is up to you to save people. You have a friend who comes to mind, I see. Someone who always has a cause to preach about? Zell nodded, and flushed red to think that Kenshin could read him so well. It made his problems seem so insignificant, to think that Kenshin was so familiar with them that he understood so well. You may be right, but isn't it better to believe in something than to simply criticize? Oh, but now I'm preaching. You must forgive me, that you must. I keep forgetting that I promised not to give you advice. He smiled and laughed quietly. It's okay. I never really said that I didn't want any, Zell mumbled. That was so strange. Why was he talking about all this? It was so strange. People your age should not have to go through what you are. That they should not. But that is beside the point. You are going through it. That is the truth. No matter what any adult around you might say. I am sorry that you're being robbed of your childhood, that I am, and I can empathize, identify with you, because my childhood was stolen from me as well. Zell was taken aback to see Kenshin's usually sunny face darken as if clouded by memories of his past. Seriousness shadowed his humorous face, making him seem grim and sage-like. I have also seen my friends around me dissipate, fall into bad hands. And I have also seen friends come out of it, rise above it. True, sometimes they needed a little help, like Sano. You saved him? You could say that I saved him, I suppose, but it is more correct to say that I helped him. I gave him the opportunity to change, the promise of a better path. He had to take it himself, that he did. The sunny smile had now completely driven away the clouds and was shining brightly. I think that if they are worthy of the feelings you have for them, they will be good enough to come out on top. I really think so. Speaking of whom, he looked up to where 8 or 9 pairs of legs had fenced them in. It was the gang, newly arrived with trays of exotic, delectable food fresh from the court. Hey, what are you talking about? Not boring the kid to tears with all that philosophy, are you, Kenshin? Sano asked, picking his teeth with a skewer from teriyaki chicken. Oh, we were just talking about plans for the future, weren't we, Mr. Greywords? Kenshin smiled. He was wondering what you two in particular had planned, I believe. He set his unfathomable, yet open purple gaze on Val and Zelos. What do you want to do when you grow up? Zell choked. No, no, no. Don't tell them. But it was too late. Kenshin seemed to have a plan, ineffable as it was, and Zell could only sigh and experience the ride. Zelos and Val looked thoughtful as they settled onto their mats. Me? I'm already grown up. I work at the music store. I sell stuff, and I'm learning to repair lots of different instruments and electronics. You know, music's real important to me. So's the band. I want to keep playing forever. Val grinned. All the Slayers agree to that. I have my father's business to grow into, Gowri said, once he'd cleaned up most of his trayloads of food. I like building stuff, and there's always work needing to be done.
Construction work really suits you, Gowri, said Silphiel, kindly. I've found that being a priestess of healing at the shrine makes me think about nursing. But I really like to cook, too. So the guidance counselor at school suggested that I think about becoming a dietitian at the hospital. 2 years of community college is all it takes.
That sounds like a good fit for you, said Lena, twirling the last of her noodles onto her chopsticks. Hey, look, I finally got the gist of chopsticks.
Law school for me! Amelia cried.
I'm going to be an attorney, an honest one, crusading for truth and justice in a world of slander and hypocrisy. And someday, someday I'll rise up to judge. That's my future. And I want to get married and have a fabulous wedding, too, she added, slightly less righteously.
I hear ya, Amelia, but not law school. I know that I want to help save the environment from all those corporate exploiters, Phileas said with a meaningful glance at Zelos. But I don't think I'm quite cut out for slogging through wetlands in the rain, screaming at demonstrations like Luna does. She shrugged. So I don't quite know what I'm going to do. Lots of conservation organizations have spokespersons, and there are lobbyists. You are smart and attractive and have a good speaking voice. You could do that for the environment, Lena suggested.
You're right, Phileas smiled. Interesting, Lena. You've been awfully quiet, Zell. You have a plan for everything. What do you want to do?
Zell shook his head. I was groomed to go into the chemistry department of the university for as long as I can remember. It's still my favorite subject, but computer hardware and design attract me as well. I don't really have much of a plan. I'll just go to college and see what happens.
Just go to college. That's great for you. You're rich. Some of us aren't drowning in cash, however, Lena huffed. Amelia, Phileas, Zell, Zelos, and even Val had some sort of inheritance. And Silphiel had plenty of money as well from the shrine. Only she and Gowrie were left. They'd have to scrape to get by, while all the others floated along, oblivious to poverty. I'm going to have to start bidding for scholarships pretty soon, entering in writing contests and doing volunteer work and that kind of brown-nosing shit. I want to go to college too, but I have to work to get there.
But what do you want to do in college, Miss Lena? Amelia asked, wide-eyed.
Like Zell, I'll probably figure it out for sure when I get there. But I'm thinking writing. Journalism and creative writing both sound good. Anything expressive, she laughed. What's all this your rich crap going on? Zell spat through gritted teeth. Would you trade places for any money with me, Zelos, Val? It's not worth it, Lena. Besides, who says we're even going to see any of that money? We're not seeing much of it right now, except for Zelos. And even that's mostly just what's owed him from the years of demanding nothing. Ha! We've spent more in hospital bills than anything else. And by the time we're through with... Kenshin put a hand on his shoulder, a quiet reminder that some things shouldn't be said. Zell checked his voice, which had been rising shriller, to a low whisper. By the time we're through, who knows what will be left? Who knows if we'll even live so long? And he said nothing more for a very long time. But Lena had a hard time being quiet for so long, and since what she wanted to tell Zelgadis to reassure him wasn't for the ears of all the others, she focused her gaze on Zelos, changing the subject. So, Chaos Kid, what do you have to say for yourself? He smiled and answered, I want to get married and have a house full of kids. Silence.
You've got to be kidding, Zelos. What kind of time warp did you pass through getting here? Phileas snapped.
I'm not kidding. That's what I've always wanted. A family. A nice family. A simple life without... Zelos began.
Without any goals! Without ambition! Without occupation! You'll die of boredom! Shouted Lena.
I want to be happy. I have a job now. It could be full-time if I wanted, he said defensively.
Kenshin, you're an adult. You tell the idiot that he's got to do something with his life, Lena demanded.
Kenshin smiled shyly. Well, it's best to know your heart and work at what you feel is the right thing. You may have to put off what you want most, though, until you've paid your dues. That you might. This coming from the wimpy-looking guy who's 28, single, the most talented swordsman in the country, and yet still lives alone in a trailer park, hanging out with losers like me, laughed his friend Zano.
You're happy, though, aren't you, Kenshin? Zelos smiled. You are the only contented, satisfied person I know over 20, saved perhaps my doctor, and he's got some guilt to contend with. Simple. I want a simple life with a family. Either that, or I want to run a criminal syndicate with worldwide ties to the underworld on every continent, and destroy the environment while I'm at it. Did I manage to offend everyone? He giggled hysterically at his joke. Kenshin laughed with him, for he did not know the whole truth of his outlandish statement. Then he nodded to the left. You're being watched. Don't look. A boy, small, with dark hair, wearing blue. Gowrie glanced around quickly.
I think it's a friend of my brother Joey. Name, I forget. Wait, Phil. Yeah, Phil. He's a new kid at the middle school, but lives near our house, I guess. Now, where did he go?
Nuriko sat close to Zelos and asked him if he was all right. You took some hits I didn't think would connect. Want me to check that shoulder? As innocent as it sounded, Zelos shook his head.
That's okay. Thanks anyway. I've had the flu all week. Plus, I haven't been putting in the practice time I should. Busy.
Nuriko finished braiding another bead into his hair, then said, Busy? Anyone I know? Zelos shook his head. No, nothing like that. Too bad. You look like someone who could use some fun. Nuriko smiled and started massaging Zelos' shoulders from a kneeling position behind him. The band played last night. And did I tell you? I'm a novice at the shrine now. Zelos smiled in return. You're going to be a priest? Wonderful. Slayer's got a gig? That's great too. So I won't worry about you. Of course, you're not a kid anymore either. Nuriko sighed.
Suzaku Steven still paying the bills? Zelos asked.
Yeah. And I think Hotohori is warming up to me a bit too. Nuriko chuckled and punched Zelos on his sore shoulder gently and sat beside him. Zelos shook his head.
That's a dead-end street. I figured you to be smarter than that. Didn't you say he was interested in some younger girl? Why torture yourself? Hey, you can become a priest and hide away for a while, too.
Nuriko chuckled. I don't think so. No, I'm just a fool in love, I guess. Zelos frowned.
A fool, anyway. I'm sorry. I'm not much smarter, but I like to think I learn from my mistakes. By the way, here come your friends now.
Nuriko waved and hopped up to join a couple other of the Suzaku Seven. Tasuki said a word or two to Lina, passing on a name of one especially good sound recording engineer at Macross Studios. Remember, Max Sterling. Tell him I sent ya, the wild, punky redhead said. No, don't, Lina. Max will probably throw you out. Tell him... The only things you have in common with Tasuki are hair, temper, bad language, and... better leave out all that, giggled Nuriko, who set off with the others to get more food. Philia made a big point of needing a cup of tea to settle her stomach after too much purple fruitcake. Zell shook his head. He thought his friend was more tolerant than necessary, certainly more than himself. His thoughts were interrupted by Amelia. She'd noticed the Nuriko-Zelos episode and Zell's reaction, then remembered something she'd intended to say to Zell.
Oh, Zell Goddess, I wanted to say, about Valentine's Day.
What, Amelia? He prompted her somewhat impatiently.
The two boys at the table, giving me the flowers and things?
She began, hesitant beneath his cerulean glare. You owe me no explanations.
I've known Duo and Hiro since first grade. We've been friends for ages, and they've always showered me with presents, just for fun. I mean, how could anyone get romantic about a guy she'd seen eat paste?
They both chuckled a bit and relaxed.
Anyway, I thought you might have misunderstood, she added as gently as possible.
No, he hadn't known. Zell hid his eyes in his bangs and spoke in a low voice.
Thanks for the information. I hadn't noticed them, much. It was a bad day for me, Amelia, that's all.
and one I don't particularly want to remember. She nodded. Now she just made things worse. He looked up to see her countenance fall. He hadn't meant to hurt her feelings much, just cover up his own. But playing at the dance felt really good, I thought, he ventured. She brightened.
Oh, yes, it was wonderful, especially how Martina pulled off her song without any practice either. And your song, it was moving. Oops, the time.
Amelia had to get into the dragon costume for the exciting parade dance with drummers and cymbals, so she left with a smile. Lena wanted to get another serving of the chicken curry from the Indian vendor, and Gowri was sure the Inari sushi could be made at home if he sampled it one more time. Silphiel decided to return to her booth, and Val had to run to catch the bus to work. So Zelos and Zelgadis relaxed, and people watched a while.
What's next? Yawned Zelos. Gowri wants me to take a look at a sword, a family heirloom, at his place after we leave, and homework for English. That special project, too. Given that any thought? Zell asked. Zelos wrinkled his nose. We could go to the new French subtitled film, Amelie, and write a review.
To his surprise, Zell agreed. Should we ask Lena and Philia to join us?
Zelos shrugged. Whatever, little brother, but I can guarantee that they won't come if I'm with you.
Why do you think so? Zell asked. Philia is obviously repulsed by me, and Lena is coolly tolerant. Anything like that could be considered a thinly disguised date will result in an instant turndown.
Zelos said glumly. Then I won't ask them.
Zell replied. I don't need the grief either, he added, and gave his friend a rare, warm, and knowing smile. Lena returned with a tall iced tea.
Hey, stay there. I'm taking this to Silphiel. Yeah, I'm the sweetest. Actually, she and I had not a fight, but anyway. I just want to let her know I'm not mad at her. Wait, Zell, you're smiling. That means you're planning something. What's up? And you know better than to say nothing, don't ya?
Zell froze. Smile fell. He gave Zelos a quick glance for some reassurance. Zelos smiled and said, We've decided to go see Amelie for the special project in English.
Without me? She cried, putting on her cute act. I wanted to see that anyway, and I could use a ride. Hey, I bet Philia will come along too. Hold on, I'll get this to Silphiel and find Philia and be back in a flash.
They watched her retreating form. Oh, well, that's done, sighed Zell.
Yep, Lena likes to be in control, doesn't she?
Zelos chuckled. Philia won't join in, though.
Probably not.
Gowri returned and settled comfortably onto a cushion.
Zell, I was wondering, think you could make these sushi thingies? I'd buy them for lunch off ya.
Find me a sushi cookbook and you can have them in trade, Zell replied.
Sure, Gowri smiled. I know where to find him, too. Oh, and, you coming over? Zelos, you can come too, you know.
Yeah, but I'd like to leave soon. We have some other stuff to do. Amelia and Silphiel are staying and getting rides home from their respective fathers. You have to drop off Philia and Lena. Of course, Lena's in the neighborhood. Philia's the problem. Zell muttered as he did his thinking aloud.
How am I the problem?
Philia asked, sneaking up from behind and yanking Zell's hair.
Ow, got Philia! Zell sputtered in annoyance.
Ew, your hair is so weird feeling, you know. So this Amelie thing, like, I'm a problem?
Philia glared into his eyes.
No. Come here a second, though,
said Zell, pulling her off to the side and rubbing his sore scalp. I don't think Gowri's involved, but I don't want to hurt his feelings. Zelos tore the listing out of the paper this morning. Here it is. 7 o'clock.
Oh, that's okay. Amelia invited Sylphie and me over after this. I didn't know then, but I'll check. But you could pick me up from Amelia's at 6:30-ish?
Philia said. Too complicated, Zell said curtly.
Oh, you're just afraid you might have to invite Amelia too,
Philia teased. Yes, and Silphiel, and Gowry, and Val, and I haven't the room in the car, and it's too complex. Just Zelos. It was his idea. Lena, you, and me, for our English project. Zell crossed his arms and stared at her with his one visible eye. They stood eye to eye. She nodded.
Whatever.
When Zell and Philia rejoined Zelos and Gowry, Lena had already blurted out the entire plan. Gowry, afraid he would have to go as well, was sweating in fear. He seized Zell and whispered his wish to be excused this time. Zell assured him that he would be permitted to stay home. One problem down. Gowry, relief evident in his voice, invited Philia and Lena over to view the sword if they wanted to. Problems solved. On the way out, they stopped to say goodbye to Silphiel and wave to Amelia as the dragon parade passed by. Gowry's siblings were delighted to see Lena and Zell again. Philia was aloof, serene, beautiful, breathlessly admired by the twin girls. Joey glommed onto Zelos, his idol, and tried to get Lena's attention by yanking her hair.
Joey, come here, called Zelos.
He sat him down and laid out the do's and don'ts of how to get Lena's attention, from his own experiences.
Here's some advice that might help you survive in the future. Girls can touch you, but you can't touch them, okay? Yep, don't talk about fairness. There's no such thing. Oh, there's more, but that's a start. Okay, one more. Watch the compliments. Girls don't take those well, either. Ah, well, they get the wrong idea.
Compliments? No way. Well, I'm not talking to any girls but Lena, and she don't count, Joey said, proud to have found his own solution.
That's going to be difficult. More than half the people on the planet are female, and since you can't ignore half the world, you might as well learn how to deal with it. Especially Lena, who's the person of interest, right?
Zello smiled conspiratorially.
So, keep your eye on Zelgadis,
Zelos continued, enjoying being the older, experienced guy for a change. He's her best friend, near equals, and great at the game, though he's unaware that he's even a player. See? He's pulling Chucky, or whomever, off Lena, and saving her by wrestling around with him. Gowry's not bad either, mind you. See? He's making her a snack to lure her into the kitchen with him. It's really amusing when you're not the one involved. Joey was gaping and shaking his head. Too perplexing. Gowry signaled for Zell and Zelos to follow him. Lena, curious, hopped up the stairs as well, while Philia stayed with Gowry's sisters.
This sword has been in the family for a really long time. It's my father's, but he lets me handle it 'cause I fence and all. Here, take a look, Zell,
Gowry said, proudly offering the huge sword to his friend. Zell was speechless. It was a gorgeous, hand-forged sword, clearly ancient, but well cared for.
I can hardly pick this up, Zell gasped, holding it aloft in both hands.
His arms were quivering in seconds, so he lowered it to rest on Gowry's bed.
It's fantastic.
Gowry smiled. Zell's apparent adoration of the object was most gratifying. The big guy picked up the sword and swung it around in controlled, practiced strokes. The two were made for each other.
I've been working with it a while. It's not like fencing. You could chop off heads with this,
Gowry grinned.
You could,
Zell chuckled. I'd hack off my own head. I'd have to be a lot stronger to handle that. Lena and Zelos looked it over and chatted about whose heads they'd like to see separated from their torsos. After a bit, Gowry put the heirloom away and they returned to the kitchen downstairs. Philia was stirring a cup of tea and suggesting a new haircut for one of the girls, while the other was trying to glean information about their plans tonight.
Tonight?
Phileas said, flipping her ponytail flirtatiously. Oh, that. Nothing much. School assignment. We see this forum film and write a report or review. Like, just slightly less boring than nothing. She added the last part as if to dismiss her involvement totally. Gowrie and the others walked into the room in time to hear the young girls twittering.
So is Zelos your date? I thought he couldn't go out. You gonna cut his hair again? Who's with Zelgadis? Why are they dressed in pajamas? I thought you liked that other guy with the chains. Isn't my brother going with you, Alina?
They asked in a chorus of giggles.
For God's sakes, no. It's not a date in any way. We're all in the same English class together. As for pajamas, Zell, you and Chaos Kid gonna change first?
Philia asked, interrupting his conversation with Gowrie. Yes, Zell nodded. Zelos, ready to shower and change out of these geese. All right, we'll be back by...
What about dinner? Cried Lena, apple in hand. We gotta eat before the movie.
I know a place near the theater, chirped Zelos. We are going to the one downtown, right? It's not far from the dojo, and if you want, we can stop in and say hi to Val at the music store. He smiled.
Philia wasn't sure if that was intended to be a dig at her or not, so she answered defensively.
I'm sure I don't care, but we probably won't have time. What kind of place were you thinking about eating at? I won't go into some dive with you.
I don't eat at dives, Zelos snapped back.
It's nothing special. Meatloaf sandwiches, hamburgers, meaty veggies, meat and potatoes.
And salads and non-meaty things too, Philia, added Zell, cautioning Zelos with a glare.
It's fine. I've eaten there before. Come on, let's get changed.
He said to Zelos and pulled on his gi sleeve.
Grow up. Stop baiting her. She's capable of doing more damage than you anyway. Don't give me that look either. Remember my advice when she's holding a pair of scissors about to trim your bangs. I thought you'd see it my way.
As it turned out, the tiny restaurant served a wide variety of tasty foods in ample quantities to please everyone. They were rushed to get to the movie and slid into their seats midway through the coming attractions. Philia sat on one end beside Lena, Zelos on the other beside Zell. In this way, the movie passed in calm for the most part. From time to time, Zelos would burst out into giggles when he recognized gross translation errors, stating, "It deserves even more than the R rating implies." Zell gasped and sputtered to contain his own laughter when Zelos would share a tidbit. He wouldn't pass them on to Lena, however, which prompted her ire to rise and forced her to do a little beating about the Zelos to obtain information, which disturbed poor Zell, who she had to lean over to reach the purple-haired kid.
"And if I had offered to tell her such dirty jokes, she'd have lacerated me," Zelos thought. Interesting. He'd made another realization to add to his About Girls bank. On the way out, Philia moved beside Zelos and traced a line in his bangs, higher on his forehead.
"I can cut them higher if you like her look."
Zelos closed his eyes and leaned into her hand a moment, then turned, glanced at her quickly, and smiled.
"I'd like to meet someone like her someday," he said,
then skipped over to the car and slipped into the back seat, leaving her wondering what insane fancy had passed through his moronic brain. The next week of school flew by, February flowing into March with the torrential rainfall. Lena was bored. It was history, and the gray rain poured outside the window. Inside the classroom, it was Women's History Month, and everyone had to suggest report topics for women who were pioneers in their field.
"Sally Field," shouted one kid.
"Jane Goodall," Philia suggested, "and Kit Carson, who wrote Silent Spring."
"Rosa Parks," yelled another.
Lena's eyes glowed. She had some ideas. Lizzie Borden, so clever a murderess, they could never prove that she did it. Virginia Woolf. Lady Boudicca, a cool, red-haired war lady of the Celts. In a fit of excitement, she strangled her enemy with his own backbone.
Ahem, interrupted the teacher. That will do, Miss Inverse.
Zell grinned. Nicely done. By Wednesday, the rain had let up, and everyone simply slogged around in gloom. Zelos never even made it to cooking class that day. In fact, he never made it to band practice. Zell didn't even see him until after 10 o'clock that night. Wednesday evening. This week, I met Mr. Sagram Sr.'s grandson, Phil. Phil Brizzo. Cute kid. Shaggy hair and big, bright eyes. Who looked as young as 10, but could be 15. He told me that I could play him once I beat his grandfather at chess. Plucky creep. Sagram Sr. mentioned for me to take a seat at the table, as he positioned the chess pieces on the board. I figured that this was the Fabrizio you anticipated I would contact. Again, you might have warned me to expect a child. So we played a game, and I beat the old man easily. That prompted me to the child opponent. We played 7 games, tied 3-3 in the first 6. I had to let him start, and we'd traded wins. For the 7th game, he began, he won. Did I let him? He asked. I answered, that's a secret. I was afraid he'd have a temper tantrum, but then he smiled and cracked up laughing. He grabbed my hand and hopped off to his grandpa's room. He told me he liked me very much. No one had dared play to win against him before, or refused to answer his questions. Zelos shrugged, then continued his report to Zelos Metallium. So, now I'm to play chess with Grandpa and the kid, Phil Fabrizio, on Fridays. When Sagram Sr. left the room to the bathroom, the kid asked me my name. I told him Zelos Greywords. He shook his head and said, it hasn't always been that, has it? No. My mother recently remarried. I was born a Metallium, I answered. Just as we had discussed, right? Zelos looked for some confirmation from the stern woman he seldom called mother. Then he smiled and pulled out this envelope. He told me to save it until I got home. Then I should read it and consider its contents. He'd see me on Friday to play chess and hear my response. It was time to catch my return bus, so I said goodbye and left. Zelos crushed out her cigarette and stood to watch the wind blow through the leafless trees in the streetlight. And the note? What does he want? Zelos handed his mother the note and waited. He was tired. The day had been long, with emotional vicissitudes. He knew Zell was helping Val with his computer, and wanted to be part of that, too. Do you understand what this means? She demanded, as much as asked. No. I was hoping you would, Zelos said with a hint of sarcasm. I've never been to Atlas City. It means Gov's there somewhere. That's not what I mean, though. This is an assignment from Fabrizio. If you accept it, you will be working for him. He's requesting you from me on loan. Notice the stamp? Yes, it is the Chabernegdo hierarchy from the pendant, but with a significant difference. Notice that our family crest is faint, masked out with tape. My approval is required. Zelos moved to the desk by the window, opened the drawer, which also contained the flashlight and lighter, and withdrew an ink pad. Well, it's your decision. If you're going after Gov, this is your chance. However, once you agree, you are in, and under his command until you've completed the contract. I suggest you read his contract very closely, my dear. He's quite devious. Yes, he looks much younger than he is. Don't let that fool you either. Zelos nodded. There was no backing out now. Syndicate,
Hitman, here I come.
He pulled out his pendant from beneath his sweater and pressed it to the pad. Place it directly over his imprint. That's right. Done. When he receives this on Friday, he will give you a contract. Use the pendant for your signature, if you accept. You may refuse, of course. If you do, then you return to me. If you accept, then this is our last conversation for... until your contract runs out. Or you die. Or he dies, of course. Are you sure about this? Zelos asked, showing almost a mother's concern for him. Zelos didn't trust his voice. He nodded, turned, and ran out of the room. Val was eager to surf the net with the best of them once Zell finished installing the software. This DSL crap is more confusing, he muttered. Ah, Zelos, it's about time. I thought you were going to take care of the server installation, but I... Zelos, what's wrong? Zell asked, as his best friend staggered into the room, white-faced. It's starting. Friday, it begins. Zelos stuttered.